pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all, good afternoon or evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Happy 4th of July to you and yours. Great to be here as always.
Yes, happy Independence Day or pre-Independence Day to everybody out there. And certainly we are fighting for our independence in these United States of America now more than ever, especially fighting this globalist anti-American movement that has succumbed the United States and our U.S. government. I just want to say hello to everyone in the chat room, including RZ. You can check out RZ's show. He's got two shows, one Thursday evenings and another on Saturday evenings on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Nice to see you, Z. Bigfoot, our big patriot. You can go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Big's got a great blog spot. I read it every day. Check out the blog spot. Some days when he's traveling, he puts pictures in there and really captures some nice pictures of America's scenery. Duck Northwest, nice to see you, Duck. Always a pleasure. And we've got, Shabab BLK Experience. So good evening. Welcome. Shabaka, okay. And Sue from New Mexico, nice to see you. Well, tomorrow is a holiday in America. It's the 4th of July, and it is Independence Day. America celebrating 246 years of independence, and hopefully it's not our last or near the last Independence Day celebrating. But as we do on every Monday, we like to start off the show with regards to the recapping of the PGA, the Professional Golfers Association, which took place this past week in Detroit, Michigan for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It was exciting, ending on Sunday with two players tied at the top in regulation play, and America's Colin Morikawa and Canada's Adam Hadwin tied at 23 under par. American Ricky Fowler was one shot behind, and he had one hole to play, and he needed a birdie to join a playoff and make it a three-man playoff, and that's biological men playoff. Fowler stuck his second shot in regulation play on the 18th hole to within 3 feet. Just an absolutely spectacular shot, and he sunk the putt. He drains the putt to get into a three-way playoff. And the first playoff hole, which is they replay the 18th hole, Ricky Fowler pushes his drive right, and it's like, and I know Alan and I were talking about it earlier, it's like, oh man, he pushed it into the stands. He's not going to have a shot. And it turns out he's got a great angle to the pin, but he's a little further back. And then both Hadwin and Morikawa pipe their drives down the fairway, with Morikawa being the longest. Well, Ricky gets up. He's first to hit. He hits his second shot to within 11 feet of the pin. Absolutely a beautiful shot. I mean, it was gorgeous, man. And then Hadwin gets up and he knocks it to within 5 feet, but he's got a lot of spin on it, and it spins back in back of Ricky's ball. So he's going to give Ricky a little bit of a read. And I guess Morikawa being pumped up or having the wrong club, he hits a 9-iron, hits to the back, past the pin, and it bounces off the back into the rough. He has a poor chip. He makes a poor chip. That would be Morikawa. And then Hadwin's next to putt, and he putts, and he just misses the cup, just kind of lipping out a little bit, and he gave Ricky a great read. Now, Fowler hasn't won since 2019. He's gone through a bunch of swing changes, ups and downs, and he was certainly at a low point, but He gets up and he drains the putt to win on the first playoff hole. He beats Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin to get his sixth PGA Tour victory. And there's a guy who is one of the good guys on the PGA Tour who really worked hard, put up with all the criticism, and went back to Butch Harmon, the guru of golf, and it paid off. It was absolutely beautiful, wasn't it, Val?
It was spectacular. Like you said, everybody loves this guy, and he is one of the most liked PGA players. So it was nice to have somebody good to root for, and he did win after 4 years. Let that be a lesson of perseverance. Never give up. Never say die. Just keep coming back and try, try, try.
That's right, and he did. He never wavered, you know, and just faced adversity and dealt with it, was a real pro about it, and he did a fantastic job, man. So congratulations to him. And then, really, the senior PGA, got to talk about that real quick because, you know, it's not just a bunch of old guys, but they had their senior open, their U.S. Senior Open Championship in Wisconsin. And on Saturday, or after Saturday's round, 65-year-old Bernard Lager goes into Sunday's round with a two-shot lead. And if you blinked on Sunday morning after Bernhard Lager teed off, the first two holes he birdies. Now he's got a four-shot lead in a major on a tough course. At one point, he stretches it out to a six-shot lead. And just the guy was just hitting some shots at 65 years old. He's vying for his 12th senior major championship and his 46th win overall. And that 46th win would top the great Hale Irwin, who's got 45 wins. And sure enough, man, he comes to the 18th hole with a two-shot lead and pars the last hole to win his – no, sorry. He had a three-shot lead. He bogeys 18, and he wins by two shots over Steve Stricker, who was surging but couldn't get any higher than 7 under par. And Longer logs in a 9 under par, and he wins his 46th senior tour victory, which is now a new record, and his 12th major on the senior tour. So this guy's got like 165 wins worldwide. Just an absolute beautiful play all weekend. Just the guy is relentless.
Mm-hmm. Now the seniors is 50 and above, if I'm correct, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
So Bernhard Lager is beating men 15 years his junior. So let that sink in how extraordinary this win is for Bernhard Lager, who is a very good man. He's a very religious man, a very devout Christian. And it's good to see another good guy win. So kudos to Bernhard Lager. And keep up the good work because we want more wins.
There's no doubt this guy's going to keep it up. I mean, he is just on fire. Just what a talent. It's really cool to watch him play. And these young guys that are coming off of the PGA Tour who are now 50, you know, they can't keep up with him. And it's unbelievable. He keeps himself in great shape, and he plays fantastic. The LPGA Tour was off this week, but they are headed to the famed Pebble Beach for their Ladies U.S. Open. It will be the first time the ladies professional golf will be playing Pebble Beach and for a championship, and it is just outstanding that they finally opened that door. So it'll be great to watch and see how they play that course and who kind of emerges on top. And
any male cross-dressers in this LPGA?
No, right now it's still biological females who are competing, which I hope that the LPGA doesn't bend their rules and does not succumb to the wokeness of this social crap that's going on inside the United States with this freaking Marxist who are trying to take over socially as well in the United States. So,
amen to that, Vito Esposito. I agree with you 100%.
Because I'm going to have to then shave and try out how I identify. How are you playing today? Well, I don't know. My breasts hurt, and I just feel like a woman today. So,
well, speaking Well, in collegiate swimming, I don't know if you saw any of that, but I happened to stumble onto the 400-meter women's collegiate swimming yesterday, and who did I see in the running was Mr. Leah, a man who cross-dresses as a woman competing in women's collegiate sports. You remember who I'm talking about?
I sure do. Yep. Yep.
Well, this man came in third. So kudos to the real women who beat the blankety blink off of this man. So, but we had a little conversation about that. You think that it might have been fixed, that maybe the Mr. Leah took a little bit of a dive for politics.
Well, you know, listen, Rowdy Gaines' daughter has been very, very outspoken, and I'm sure that Leah Thompson is starting to feel some pressure. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where people are awakening, and you know, I believe that the majority of Americans are tired of this transgender crap that's being shoved down our throats. It is not part of our system. It's not part of America's value system. And the left wing, the wokeism, the Marxists, they all want to supplant America's value system. And of course, their attack on Christianity is endless, whether it's, you know, this transgenderism, or, you know, it's now that organization who is maligning nuns. You know, we have to accept that, because that organization, the cross-dressing males who dress up as nuns, they raise money for charitable organizations. That's supposed to make everything right. In the meantime, you malign the Catholic Church, you malign Catholicism. You know, why don't you go ahead and dress up like Muhammad and see how fast that gets you, or dress up like Aisha, okay, and then start telling us how much you care about the Islamic religion.
That'll go over like a lead balloon. But for the LA Dodgers, these cross-dressing Christian Catholic-hating men, the LA Dodgers embrace them and let them come and perform at one of their games, and they let it go through. So shame on the Dodgers. So it's impacting sports and infecting sports. And then there's this state politician in Florida who is also embracing these Catholic-hating, cross-dressing men.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Anna Eskamani, some Iranian of all women. She might be a lesbian Iranian, I don't know, but she's embracing these cross-dressing men as well. So, I think America's had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yep.
My motto is, the chromosomes tell you everything you need to know, Vito. XX and XY until the day you die, and that will never change. And you can quote me on that. You can put it on a T-shirt or a bumper sticker behind your car. XX and X or XY until the day you die. Thank you.
Well, you know what? That analogy got a science professor fired from a university for daring to say XX and XY. There's only two chromosomes, and he got fired for it because there was a couple of Marxists were offended. And of course, the Marxist mentality is, as RZ put in the chat room, taking over the social is the path to complete control. And that's exactly right. When you start breaking down the family, you take over social aspects of a free society like America has been or had once enjoyed. That is the method for Marxism, and it's to take away from our constitutional form of government, our republican form of government.
Yeah, you know, that RZ is a pretty smart guy, and he gets it, because if you're China. China is the enemy of the United States, along with North Korea, Venezuela, and all the other Marxist shithole countries around the world. They all want to see the demise of the United States of America, and what better way to do it than to destroy America culturally, where the men are women, think they're women, and the women think they're men, and nobody knows what the hell they are. That is called softening the cultural battlefield, because if we don't know what we're fighting for, will never be able to fight for what we're against. So kudos to RZ. He nailed it. I give him a Mamma Mia No Sharia from you.
I'll gladly allow you to do that. Go ahead. Yeah, do it. It's great. You know, keep the pressure. The rules of radicals, Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, number eight. Rule number eight, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit from the flank with a new attack from both sides. Never giving the reeling organization a chance to rest, regroup, recover, and re-strategize. And it's exactly what the left wing is doing. It's exactly what Biden was installed to do, and his handlers, because let's face it, Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. So his handlers are the radical activists, are the radical anti-Americans who are pushing forth this radical anti-American agenda. And that's exactly what it is. It's an anti-American agenda. And isn't it fitting that tomorrow is Independence Day, July 4th, will mark 247 years since the Second Continental Congress authored the Declaration of Independence. And I have a theory I have to put out. And I'm going to throw this out because in the Declaration of Independence, it's pretty clear what our founders were fighting against. And there is one passage in here, and it appears on the first page. And of course, I talked about this on Friday's show, how, you know, Joe Biden intentionally misleads and misquotes the Declaration of Independence, although he doesn't know what the difference between the Declaration and the Constitution are. But this is what the Declaration of Independence says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. It doesn't say men and women. It says men. Okay, so the intentional deceit by the left wing is shameless, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, this is where it gets very interesting, and this is where 2024 can be a pivotal time in American history. And I think this is what's frightening the establishment, the cabal, the Washington, D.C. syndicate. So this is what's giving the Washington, D.C. mafia agita, this next phrase or next paragraph, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizations, organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, I don't believe that our founders were talking about a violent overthrow. Given the state of our disunion, the state of the Union of the United States of America, and the fact that what we are learning has occurred over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and how destructive members of the U.S. government have become, how members of the executive branch have sold out the United States of America for the almighty dollar, or in Joe Biden's case, yuan, how members of the United States Congress are more concerned with power than they are with our preserving our republic. Because Article 4, Section 4 states that the United States will guarantee to each state a Republican form of government, okay? It doesn't say it guarantees a Democratic form. It says it guarantees a Republican form of government. And what a Trump presidency offers, and what scares the living shit out of the left wing, out of the Washington, D.C. syndicate, is what happened this past weekend in South Carolina when over 50,000 people, okay, amassed for a Trump rally to see President Trump. And during the course of of the Trump rally. One Senator Lindsey Graham, he went up and on stage and was speaking and was booed throughout his speech because everybody knows that he's a phony. Everybody knows he's part of that Washington, D.C. syndicate and would stab Trump in the back once more. So what the Washington, D.C. syndicate is concerned about is a Donald Trump being reelected because he will, this time around, I firmly believe, he will alter and or abolish parts of that government, and rightly so. Altering means getting rid of the whores in Washington, D.C. Altering it means getting rid of those bureaucrats who are indentured to the Washington, D.C. syndicate who sought to undermine his presidency from 2017 to 2021. And I think that as Americans become more and more educated and the majority of Americans are grossly disgusted by what's occurred in government by the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA lying, 51 national security advisors, 51 intelligence advisors lied about the Hunter Biden laptop. Why? To sway an election in 2020. They actually tampered with an election, a presidential election in 2020. And now it comes to light that happened. And then we find out in 2016, a sitting president, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and his little chimpanzee, Joe Biden, okay, tampered with the 2016 presidential election. What they didn't anticipate was a pissed off American electorate. And of course, they all thought that the pantsuit princess Hillary Rodham Clinton was going to take the reins from Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and continue the radicalism, the anti-Americanism, the globalism that was put in place by one Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. So America has an opportunity, and given tomorrow is the 247th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. America has a mission over the next year and a half. And that is, we have an opportunity to alter and abolish during a free election. At least we think it's free. And let's send these globalists, these anti-Americans packing. You know, and I was going to label the show, and Holdren asked me a question if we were doing a show today, and I sent back, yes, we are. And I was going to title it Psaki Being Stupid, AOC A Total Retard, and Butt Cheeks Is Useless. And that pretty sums up the discussion over the weekend with all three of those imbeciles who decided that they were going to weigh in on America's policy. And of course, AOC, being the retard that she is, okay, likes to use the term democracy at every turn. And now she, the radical left-wing Marxist, is going to try to lead an effort to have Supreme Court justices impeached. And imagine, there's three branches of government. And some say there's a fourth branch now with the CIA, FBI, okay, kind of doing their own thing. But there's three branches, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And when the judicial branch and the executive branch get out of control, the judicial branch can basically try to rein some sanity and come back to what the original intent was of this document called the U.S. Constitution. And nowhere in the Constitution does it state that American taxpayers should fund college tuitions. Nowhere. Nowhere. That's a Marxist movement to buy votes. That's a Marxist movement for influence peddling. Okay? It's not compulsory in the United States to go to college yet. But in order for the government to control the minds of the youths, it's imperative that the government moves to take over a youth's mind, okay, from pre-K all the way through now through college. And somehow you're a victim if you have college debt. If you have college tuition debt, you are now a victim according to the Marxists in Congress. Marxists like AOC, like Ayanna Pressley, like incestuous Ilhan Omar, and of course Rashida Motherf or Tlaib, or like Elizabeth Warren. Now there's a gem in itself, Elizabeth Warren. Okay, here's Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. You all remember Pocahontas, who used affirmative action and lied about her race in order to get into Harvard University. And that individual who lied her way through school continues to be on staff at Harvard University to the tune of $250,000 a year, while she is collecting $175,000 plus perks from the U.S. taxpayer while serving in the United States Senate, or actually being in the United States Senate. And she has the audacity to call out the American taxpayer, okay, to fund and to pay off college tuitions, okay, from students who elected to go to college. I mean, you want to talk about someone who's shameless? She's still collecting $250,000 from Harvard University. Her husband is getting upwards and over $500,000 for being a professor at Harvard University. And she has the audacity to say that she's an Indian, that we need to play fair. You know, stick that in your hookah and smoke it. I mean, to sit there and chastise the American people and because we don't believe that the American taxpayer should fund college tuitions. And again, it's yet another distraction. Okay. Rule number 8, keep the pressure on. Never let up. It's distraction after distraction after distraction. And so the Supreme Court rightly at a 6-3 vote said no. No more. No. First of all, Joe Biden and his handlers unilaterally decided that they were going to forgive $400 billion or more of student debt in America. And you all realize that as a distraction, okay, there's no debt ceiling until January 1st, 2025. You all realize that. Okay. So when we talk about distractions, okay, it's only $400 billion. It's only $500 billion. Okay, we're already paying for illegal aliens to go to school. And now taxpayers will be saddled with the burden of at least $400 billion in college tuitions. You know what? Get a job. You know what? It's not compulsory to go to college in the United States. It's a nice thing, but kids have been programmed today in high school that in order to get ahead, you must go to college. No, that is not true. Why don't you just go to trade school? I have cousins who've gone to trade school, become plumbers, welders, electricians. They need a college degree to do that. As a matter of fact, they're doing quite well for themselves. But somehow it's ingrained by these left-wing lunatics that you have to go to college. Why? So that the Elizabeth Warrens can continue to get $250,000 a year for doing nothing. And then badmouth the American taxpayer saying, oh, so it's not fair. Or be Ayanna Pressley. It's not fair. You know what's not fair? Is the American taxpayer footing your bill. That's not fair. But Joe Biden's not done, by the way, okay? The Biden handlers now are going to change the wording, change the verbiage, so they can do an end around and bypass the United States Congress. And once again, the anti-constitutional Joe Biden and his regime are attacking the U.S. Constitution. They're attacking the taxpayer wallets. And again, keep the pressure up. Never let up. Keep the pressure up. Don't back off. Think of something else. Do an end around. And where are the people in Congress, huh? Where are the supposed Republicans in Congress who are calling out the illegal actions, the unconstitutional actions of Joe Biden and his radical anti-American handlers? They're silent because that's what the Uniparty does. They keep silent. Silence is consent. We can squash half of this crap that's going on today if members of the United States Congress would start speaking up and speaking out. But that's not what they want. They want this turmoil. They want this chaos. Oh, yeah, global warming. Thank you, Holger. Good evening, Holger. Global, there's another scam. The biggest hoax perpetrated on man today, climate change, global warming. Heard it again today. Oh, well, because of climate change and the cost of the hurricanes down in Florida, you know, it's due to environmental and climate change. No, it wasn't due to climate change. Oh, well, you know, this is more devastating than the hurricane of 1935, which also hit Naples. That's right. It was more devastating than 1935 when it hit Naples. Because in 1935, the entire population of the state of Florida was 923,000 people. You know what the population of the state of Florida was in 2022? 23 million. 23 million people live in Florida versus less than 1 million in 1935. There were no businesses. There were no skyscrapers. There were no condominiums on the beach. Hell, half of those cities and towns on the west coast of Florida weren't even inhabited. And now it's climate change as a result of the damage that was done and destruction and the $55 billion destruction was due to climate change. No, it was not due to climate change. It was due to a fucking hurricane. And how densely populated Florida has become. In 1935, you had one house on a beach. In 2023, you've got 17 condos within 100 yards of each other. What do you think the impact's going to be when you have 17 condominiums, okay, with 100 to 200 units in each of them and they're devastated by a hurricane? You think maybe the damage is going to be a little bit more than a shack that's on the beach in 1935? I mean, this is how dumb the left wing believes Americans truly are. This is how dumb they think the Uniparty thinks Americans truly are. Why, we have to pay for your college tuition because it's not fair. You know what? Why doesn't somebody in Congress lead the charge for colleges and universities in the United States of America to drop their tuition fees by 90%? If you want kids to go to college that badly, drop your tuition rates by 90%. You'll get more children. You'll get more youth going to college. Oh, well, you know what? The VIG won't be as good, though. You know, Vito, hey, how you doing? You know, the VIG to go to college there ain't going to be that good. You know, we won't be able to pay the Elizabeth Pocahontas Warrens there $250,000. Yeah, of course you won't be able to pay it. But you expect the American taxpayer to pay it. Sorry, I got no opinion on the college tuition payments. Nor global warming. So what's your take on you think the Supreme Court did the right thing and nixed the college tuition?
Well, it's not constitutional. That's the job of the Congress. Only the Congress, that's the only branch of government, because we have a divided government. Legislative, executive, and judicial. And the three branches fight for power, and that keeps everything rolling along perfectly in our republic, our constitutional republic. So, no, I guess it's affirmative action now was decided in the Supreme Court, in addition to everything that you had said. Now, that's a decision that the Supreme Court should and did make a decision on, and I think they made the right decision by voting against affirmative action.
Well, exactly. I mean, did you see the clip with Joy Reid, less than Joy Reid? And she says, I couldn't get into Harvard, but I was a product of affirmative action. Well, okay, so you, because of you, somebody more qualified didn't get into Harvard. So exactly. What she's saying is that black people don't have the abilities that white people have, basically, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Well, all I know is that when we have a black president, then we'll know that there's parity in the United States. Oh, wait. We did have a black president who not only got elected once, but got elected again, twice. And you can't do that without more than half the white people voting for him. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's time for affirmative action. Maybe affirmative action should be looked, I look at it as an insult to those who trade in it or get ahead by it, because the people like at Harvard don't think that black people are capable on their own and of their own merit to gain admittance into Harvard or any other Ivy League university, and even some state systems as well. I don't think that's true. I think we all have an equal shot to succeed or fail based on our own merits, based on the decisions we make, both good and bad. And I can tell you, anybody that hasn't failed at least 2, 3, 4 times isn't trying.
But when you need to have a victim group, when you need to have a victim, you have to lean on affirmative action, right? I mean, you have to, there has to be winners and losers. And so the left wing now will take the side of black people as being losers, when in fact they don't herald those individuals like a Clarence Thomas, or how about a Thurgood Marshall? When America was in the midst of all this racism, Thurgood Marshall, an attorney, makes it to the highest court in the United States. Now, apparently there was racism and favoritism, but let's not talk about the successes of Thurgood Marshall. Let's not talk about the successes of Clarence Thomas and how he attained the highest levels of the highest court. How about, I don't know, Dr. Ben Carson, growing up in the projects, actually learning, overcoming stuttering, and then getting an education, finding a way to get an education and becoming one of the premier surgeons in the United States of America? And then how about Herman Cain? I loved Herman Cain's story. I had an opportunity to meet Herman Cain some years ago and had dinner with him. And he told me about his how Godfather Pizza got started and how he attained success. Now, he was put in place to take over Godfather Pizza for it to fail. And he decided that Godfather Pizza had a product. And Godfather Pizza could succeed. And here's a black man, okay? Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry about that, Holger. Dr. Carson's not really black. Here's a man who was put in place to basically dismantle and fold Godfather's Pizza when he turned it around and made it a successful company. He made it so successful that Herman Cain put an offer to buy Godfather Pizza from, I believe, PepsiCo. And he bought it. And it's absolutely amazing that here's a guy who grew up in the midst of the civil rights era and grew up in the midst of racism and didn't see color. He didn't let it get him down. As a matter of fact, he had the respect of a lot of people. And you know what? The majority of those people were white. It was fascinating to listen to the man and talk about his successes as an entrepreneur, how he truly believed in America's free enterprise and capitalism. He was put in place to basically do away with Godfather's Pizza, and he turns it into a a multi-billion-dollar company at one point with franchises and stores all around the restaurants all around the United States of America. Now, don't tell me that because you're black, you don't have the ability. That's a cop out. But you know what? Isn't that the point with the left wing? They need a victim. And so you prance out these radical anti-Americans like Alexandria Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, you know, incestuous Ilhan Omar, Adam Schiff, and Fartman Swalwell, you know, and portray everyone as being victims, you know. And isn't it funny, you know, you've been elected to Congress, you know, 47 times, Maxine Waters. How are you a victim? Sheila Jackass Lee, you've been elected to Congress for 30-something years. How are you a victim? And then, of course, they don't want to talk about Tim Scott, Senator from South Carolina, because Tim Scott, once again, like Herman Cain and like Ben Carson, their stories put holes in the Marxist movement because they didn't grow up wealthy. They didn't grow up with white privilege. They grew up and oftentimes they grew up under tough conditions, but they found a way to get an education. And sadly, the lack of discipline today in our education system is also all by design. And so we have this fraction society, this identity politics, which pits now the blacks against the whites. And it's done intentionally by those in Washington, D.C. of either party, of all three parties, as a matter of fact, because now we have an independent party in Congress, as we have in the United States Senate. Two independent Marxists. One's a full-blown communist, but he's called an independent, I guess. We're supposed to be moved by the fact that, you know, Bernie Sanders is an independent, you know, a guy who takes a vacation to St. Petersburg, Russia. Oh, but, you know, that's for another story. Anyways.
Well, I know a woman who is 1/16th Indian, not Native Indian, Native American, who got accepted to Harvard. So maybe I need to rethink my whole position on affirmative action. Oh, wait, that was Elizabeth Warren, and she lied. So maybe I don't, because she was gaming the system as a white woman, and none of these black people or anyone who benefits from this affirmative action, they never said a negative word about Elizabeth Warren because she's a Marxist Democrat, and they take care of their own. That's that.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, because what does it say about the value system of Harvard University when, in fact, they have a known cheater on staff? Not only did this person defraud Harvard, okay, and really basically block out other students who are more qualified to get in under affirmative action, but she falsely claimed a status, a heritage that was not true, and now she's also rewarded by Harvard University of being on staff. And so Harvard hasn't lowered their tuition. They're still paying her, you know, $250,000 a year, and she is a proven liar. So what does that say about Harvard University's, you know, value system? Now, they have endowment.
They're not as bright as they think they are.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So these Ivy League schools really are not real Ivy, are they?
No, they're not very smart.
So you have people that game the system under affirmative action, and these people who game the system now are interestingly the most outspoken, and yet members of Congress aren't saying a word. But then you have the racist, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson in the Supreme Court. You know, there's another Marxist, you know, who tries to play the victim. And here, Justice Jackson uses her broad observation about statistical relationships between race and select measure of health, wealth, and well-being to label all blacks as victims. Her desire to do so is unfathomable to me. It's an insult to individual achievement and cancerous to young minds seeking to push through the barriers. Their race is not to blame for everything, good or bad, that happens in their lives. That is an absolute wonderful quote. It really is. I wish more people would have the intestinal fortitude to say something like that, because their race is not to blame for everything. And I'm sorry, if you're colorblind, you don't see race. The only difference between a black and white is the color of the skin, and that should be it. And the fact that you have the left wing in the United States of America, the Marxist movement, who condones the lack of discipline and respect in schools, and now they stand up and they rail against the Supreme Court's decision that all men are created equal. And then, of course, AOC has to respond. What Justice Clarence Thomas wrote there, I believe, is profoundly disrespectful to I think it's profoundly disrespectful to his colleagues. Really? Really? Their race is not to blame for everything good or bad that happens in their lives. Her desire to do so, it's an insult to individual achievement and cancerous to young minds seeking to push through barriers. And that's an insult. It's profoundly insulting. This is the mindset of that retard in the U.S. House, Alexandria Cortez. It's an insult to want to push through the barriers. It's unbelievable. And again, it goes back to the rules for radicals, the 12 rules for radicals. Chaos, chaos, and chaos. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. And then, of course, you got Jen Psaki. Now,
what an idiot.
Yeah, I thought I had the clip loaded, and apparently it did not load. And I'm really sad about that, because it was a really good clip. And, you know, all we have to realize is this. You know, Jen Psaki is nothing but a propagandist. And she's looking for ways to get her show talked about, you know, in public, because it's dead. It's dying. It's yet another DNC MSNBC show that's going by the wayside. I mean, we all know how she lied for and covered up for Biden and didn't address the issues that hand, such as, I don't know, rising gas prices. And here you've got Psaki now talking about social issues, and this dishonest broad comes out and she shows that she has no shame, and she confirms that the Democrat Party is shameless. The left wing in the United States is utterly shameless. There's literally no ethics, no morals, and there's no conscience with the left wing in America today. And it's simply one lie after another. And the newest DNC dishonest campaign has to do with the new DNC narrative that the GOP is recruiting Muslims against transgenders. And there's one thing that, I don't know, my co-host kind of knows pretty well is Islamic doctrine, and knows the Quran, knows Umdat Salik, Reliance of the Traveler, knows the value system of Islam, understands the value system of Islam. And I'll tell you, remember, if you go back to 2012, and I'm bringing this up first, that there was a baker in Colorado who declined to bake a cake for a gay couple and based on his religious beliefs. And it made, of course, national news. But you know what didn't make national news in 2012? And it wasn't Republicans leading the charge, okay? But it was an investigative reporter who went to Dearborn, Michigan. Now, Dearborn-Estan, Michigan is a hotbed of Islamism. Muslims have flocked to Dearborn-Estan, Hamtramck, Michigan, and parts of Detroit. So this investigative team goes to Dearborn-Estan, and they visit all of the bakeries and the bakers, the Islamic-owned bakeries in Dearborn-Estan and Detroit. And they ask the owners to bake a cake for a gay couple. And each and every Islamic baker stated, no, we will not do it. One Islamic baker, now, mind you, this baker in Colorado is being excoriated. This baker in Colorado is being sued. The Democrats have filed all kinds of civil rights charges against him because of his religious belief. Remember, under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it does say that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So this baker is exercising in Colorado is exercising his religious belief. So now, while this is all going on, what do the bakers in Dearborn-Estan and Detroit and Hamtramck say? We aren't going to bake a cake for a gay couple. One Islamic baker told the investigative reporter who was working on the cover, and he said, go to Albertson's, they'll bake you a cake. Go to Albertson's bakery to have the cake baked. And that fell on deaf ears because Christianity, of course, is basically the movement to attack, okay? The left wing is moving to attack Christianity in America and erase God from any type of society. Christians are bad. And then, of course, silence with regards to the Islamic community based on religious belief, refusing to bake a cake for a gay couple. The Michigan Civil Rights Commission did not come down on the Islamic bakers in Dearborn-Estan or in Detroit or in Hamtramck. They simply just let it go away, let it die. And so it's about condemning Christianity and turning a blind eye to Islam. Islam provides the much-needed dollars to the left-wing causes. And the left-wing cause in America today is to dismantle our constitutional form of government. And so what better team to align with if you're the Islamic movement, the Muslim Brotherhood? It's to align with the Democrat Party. Because the Democrat Party seeks to dismantle our Republican form of government as guaranteed to us in Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And if you look at the explanatory memorandum that was written by the Muslim Brotherhood in 1994, and it was discovered in a sub-basement in 2002 in Annandale, Virginia, the Muslim Brotherhood's mission statement is very simple, and it reads very simple. The Ikhwan must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within, and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. God's religion is Islam. The miserable house they're trying to destroy is the United States government. And they want to do it from within. Now, I don't know why we don't take these words serious. And so that has been our cause since 2008, ours at Global Patriot Radio, is for awareness and education. You see, and the left wing has worked very hard to undermine that education, to dumb America down. All they want you to know is Islam means peace. All they want you to know, okay? And cutting and miscutting a soundbite is that President Trump wanted to ban all Muslims from coming in the United States. But what Jen Psaki didn't do, the princess of propaganda, she didn't play the entire clip. She only played the clip in order to take President Trump's words out of context. Because President Trump talked about five countries of banning his entry into the United States, five Islamic countries. There were seven countries in all, but five of them were Islamic countries. Why? Because there is no form of government in Syria. There was no form of government in Libya. You had a theocratic terrorist regime running Iran, and you can't vet Iranians coming into the United States. Yemen was under war. There was no strict form of government in Yemen to do any vetting process. And Iraq. There was no form of government in Iraq to do any type of vetting process. Five countries. North Korea was another, and Venezuela was another. That was seven countries in all. But you see, the princess of propaganda, Jen Psaki, didn't play the entire clip of President Trump. And once again, the left wing is lying in order to portray President Trump as something that he's not. And when you have over 466 known terrorists being captured at our borders, at the northern borders and the southern borders, how many more terrorists, Islamic terrorists, have come through our borders that we don't know about? You've got the tri-border region in South America where Hezbollah conducts Islamic training camps, and they bring those terrorists up through our southern borders. That's why it was important to secure the southern borders. Not for Joe Biden and his radical anti-American handlers. And once again, the princess of propaganda, Jen Psaki, was lying to the American people. Well, you know, nobody's talking about our show, so you got to do something to get to get back into the public's mind. And of course, the narrative from Nancy Pelosi and from Chuck Schumer and from Hillary Rodham Clinton was President Trump wanted to ban all Muslims from the United States. No, there were five countries, five Islamic countries. It's called national security for a reason. And this is how dishonest, okay, Jen Psaki and all of her ilk are. Because they want America ignorant. Their movement since 2002, okay, after the attacks of 9/11, was to make America ignorant. And the idea of sabotaging our miserable house, it's being done by our own politicians. It's being done by our own Americans inside the United States government, including Jen Psaki. The Muslim Brotherhood, like the Democrat Party, like the left wing, believe America's governmental house is miserable. They believe our Republican form of government is miserable. It's man-made laws according to Islam, which seeks to become superior over all other religions. You know, one of the Muslim Brotherhood front groups, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, their co-founder, Omar Ahmad, stated that Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, I don't know what part of any of that statement is not understood. The GOP is not trying to infiltrate the Islamic movement. It's just that Islam doesn't believe in homosexuality. As a matter of fact, if you're a receiver of homosexuality, you have a death sentence. And if you should be giving that homosexuality, you'll get 100 lashes. That hasn't changed in 1,400 years. Islam does not believe in homosexuality. And then when you have the brotherhood groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, okay, where their belief system is that the Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America. Yes, Jen Psaki, okay? You played those clips on your show, okay? You tried to malign Michelle Bachmann. You tried to malign Newt Gingrich, but they were absolutely correct. When the mission statement is stated by our enemies and they're walking here in the United States and they're telling us what their campaign is, what their end game is, isn't it time that you believe them? Not these distractions about transgenderism and homosexuality and all that noise. The fact is we're talking about national security. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. That was Omar Ahmad. That means that Sharia should supplant the U.S. Constitution. Well, if you read Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, it states that the U.S. Constitution should be the supreme law of the land, and judges shall be bound thereby. And when you have this chaos being implemented here in the United States within, by our own members of the U.S. government, to try to keep us off balance, Islam's going to take advantage of it. And it's one distraction after another. We got a, I think we got, we do have a call, Al. I'm looking up. Holzer's got his hand up. Hey, thanks for holding, Holzer.
That didn't sound like a Viking horn. It sounded like a buffalo or something. Even worse.
What's going on?
I had to just share. I don't know. I believe there's some stuff happening at Twitter, and because my notifications have been like spinning for like 3 days and all that kind of good stuff. But in case people haven't heard, the Israelis are taking it to the streets in West Bank city called Jenin. Because from what I gather, that's basically the last number of attacks by Palestinians against innocent Israelis and Israeli soldiers have all been conceived and conducted out of Jenin. So the Israelis figured they'd go in and clean the bad guys out. So there's a congresswoman from Michigan by the name of Rashida Tlaib.
Oh.
Who she claims to be a Palestinian, Palestinian descent, which is kind of unusual because there is no such country as Palestine. But anyway, I sent her a tweet. I replied to her tweet, and I replied with, "Isn't it wonderful to see the, quote, fireworks, end quote, in Jenin? Makes you want to break out the hot dogs and apple pie, baby."
And did you get a reply?
And I haven't gotten a reply yet. So, but you know, if they find me like in 1,000 pieces tomorrow, you know, check her for gunpowder residue. But you know, she's got tweet after tweet, you know, about how the Israeli military is stopping ambulances. Stopping ambulances from getting to the people that are wounded in Jenin. But
well, the ambulances, Holger, do bring, these are the Arabic Muslim ambulances. They do bring ammunition and fighters into the fighting zone. So of course the Israelis are keeping the ambulances out because that is just made for TV. And what's happening in Jenin is based on a murder. Not even a murder. It was a career Muslim criminal in Jenin, which is right on the 1967 Green Line, which Israel won all that land in the 1967 war, and they gave Jenin back to the Palestinians under limited control in the name of peace. And this is what happened. So the Israelis are going in there now to clean out the PIJ, Hamas, and the Iranian fighters that are in Jenin, and they are doing it successfully. So God bless the IDF and wish them well.
So I'll get off the phone here, but I did want to put a request in because and Al, I know you were just over yonder, but I have, I've seen a lot of things going on behind the scenes in with Israel, with these globalists and Marxists trying to, we've gone through it with Netanyahu and all this kind of stuff, all this manipulation of Israel, and obviously they're like, other than Trump, they were probably the number two target in the world was to transform that government in Israel over to, a Marxist, globalist kind of scenario and stuff. So I would like, if you guys get a chance in the next few weeks, kind of dig deep into Israel because, I don't think Joe Biden has mentioned the country of Israel in like 18 months. I mean, he is oblivious. And I think part of it is because they got so many operations going on in Israel right now that they don't want any focus on it. I mean, they're waiting for this stuff to kind of take place and then be all surprised, like they were, oh my God, look what happened in Brazil. I found out just like you people did when you read it in the newspaper. Really, Joe? You've been sending operatives over there for frickin' 4 years, dude. Oh, anyway. So just a request.
Joe Biden, I can tell you this, Holder. Joe Biden hates Israel. His administration hates Israel. In fact, they actively sent over political operatives to try to overturn the Bibi Netanyahu election. So they tried to get a sitting leader out of an ally, which is unheard of. Silence within the media. So they're...
Well,
Lipstadt, who is part of the administration, the czar of anti-Semitism, hates Israel. And immediately when Joe Biden took office, the first thing he did is all of the executive orders and all the money that was going to Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad over in Israel was stopped by Trump. Well, as soon as Biden was elected, he took those executive orders, threw them in the garbage, and started handing money hand over fist to the jihadis in Israel. And what do you think happened? The violence went up. So thank Joe Biden for this violence that we're seeing in Jenin right now, because that son of a bitch is paying for it, and it's criminal. Just another nail in the coffin of why he should be removed from office and impeached.
Well, you look back, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton hated Israel with a passion. You look back, Barack Obama obviously hated Israel with a passion. Most Muslims do, and of course, Joe Biden does everything, agrees with everything that Barack Obama, his man crush, hates and all that kind of good stuff. So it's just been one thing. I mean, I quite frankly, Al, the one thing I'm shocked about is that Joe Biden hasn't moved the embassy back to Tel Aviv. I mean, I'm amazed that hasn't happened. I mean, I figured that would happen within the first 6 months.
But, you got a good point. It hasn't, and it is surprising.
Yeah.
I guess he knew that would cause too much trouble for him, so he decided not to do it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's some, for some reason, it's like I just don't see hardly any coverage of Israel anymore on any of the shows, certainly don't see it on the networks and all that. Now, this will get some press now because, of course, they'll, it'll come back as, it's the only place in the entire world where, when a military actually conducts an operation that 90% of the dead are like under the age of five, that only happens in fucking Gaza or in the West Bank, across Afghanistan, and, you know, we only kill like six kids. But, you know, Israelis send one helicopter up, and, oh, my God, there's 37 kids are dead by noon.
Well, part of the tactic for these jihadis is they use innocent civilians, women and children as human shields. And the Israelis will not shoot on them. They will not take out a building if they're civilians and anywhere around. And the jihadis know this, and they use that to their advantage. That's how evil these Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, so-called Palestinians, are, and how evil they are. And yet the Marxist Democrats support them, like Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, AOC. They all support Hamas and these terrorists. It's ponderous.
Yeah. You know, and that's the point. You know, if you're an American, and so you're either pro-Israeli or you're pro-Islamic terrorist. That's it. There's nothing in between. You know, you're either for Israel or you're for Islam. You know, and you know, don't give me this crap about I'm not against Israel. I'm for a two-party state. You know, all that kind of stuff. Oh, okay. You know, it's the point being is you've got two factions there. You've got an established country, and you've got group after group of Islamic terrorists. And so, you know, the whole point is you got people in America protesting, showing up with signs, you know, for Gaza and for everything else and all that. And, you know, basically they are marching for the murder of innocent Jews in Israel. I mean, that's how blatant it is.
And these idiots don't realize that the area of Jenin was under Jordanian control prior to 1967. Jordan controlled it. Those people there are Jordanians. This Palestinian made-up word is just a made-up word.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's like everything else, and I'll just end with this. You know, everything that we're dealing with in this country, everybody's talking about how, you know, how chaotic everything is and how everything's upside down in America now, blah, 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 blah. And the fact is that our society right now is built on nothing but lies. Every major thing in this country is a lie. Transgenderism is a lie. Men can have babies is a lie. Climate change is a lie. The Ukraine-Russia war is a lie. Everything's a lie. And so when Israel gets set up because they operate a system of, quote, apartheid, it's a lie. The whole idea of a Palestinian people is a lie. And you wonder why people in this country are just shutting down. Absolutely shutting down. They're turning their TVs off. They're turning their radios off. They're trudging out and sitting in their garden all day long because they can't stand the fact that everything's a lie. The FBI is a lie. The election in 2020 was a lie. And so, you know, we haven't heard the truth probably for, you know, 50 years. So, anyway, I think any light that can be shed on Israel would be good, because I've just got this horrible feeling that we're going to wake up one of these days and there's going to be some, not catastrophic, but there's going to be some really bad news coming out of Israel. And I hate to think that's going to happen, but I think they're, you know, they used to have about 40 Arab countries, you know, targeting them, okay? And Trump probably did the best, you know, job of anybody in the history of that country of changing that. And now, you know, unfortunately, Israel still has Arab enemies, but right now Israel's got a target on its back from the globalists, and they're all after Israel. And the problem is, I don't have any question that Israel can beat the shit out of Egypt or can beat the crap out of Iran, or I think they can very well defend themselves, but I don't think they can defend themselves from a globalist coup. Quite frankly, I don't think they can. Yeah. I don't think they can. You know, Ukraine couldn't fight it in 2014, and I don't think when the globalists come together, I don't think it's something that you can survive. So, just my two bits, boys.
Well, no, and good points, because Israel has the capability. I guess Israel's biggest threat right now is a missile barrage coming from the north out of Lebanon, coming out of Gaza, coming out of Egypt, coming out of Jordan, through where Jenin is in Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank. If missiles start firing from all three of those places, Israel can handle maybe the first volley, maybe even the second, but they don't have the inventory of defensive weapons and offensive weapons to take care of the threat at 100%. And that's where the United States comes in as Israel's largest ally, that we supply them with arms that Israel pays for. But Biden has been holding off and actually taking some of those arms and giving them to Ukraine. So that puts Israel at a great disadvantage. And I believe that is a lot of what's promoting a lot of this aggressiveness from the followers of Islam in that area. So Israel striking back hard, as they are in Jenin right now, is sending a signal to the Palestinian jihadis that they may want to reconsider this aggressive action at this time. And if Israel is successful, they'll get some peace. But if not, then I'm afraid that your darker scenario is more likely to happen in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, I'm sure if you did see a missile strike come in from Hezbollah up in Lebanon, followed by something coming out of the West Bank or from Gaza, followed by maybe even some sort of crapola that the Iranians configure out of Iraq, I'm sure we wouldn't have to worry too much about Israel, because I'm sure, you know, Joe Biden would have one of our aircraft carriers parked right out off the shore of Lebanon, you know, to come to Israel's aid immediately, right?
We hope.
Shit.
He may send one of those trans cross-dressing Navy officers over as aid to Israel.
All right, guys. Have a great Independence Day tomorrow.
Thanks. You
all
too,
right, you
Holger.
Too. Great call.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. All right. Take care. Hey. You know, Holger brings up a great point, Vito, that goes right back to your Jen Psaki story, because Jen Psaki, the Muslims here in America have been a protected class. Originally, they gravitated to the Republican Party because the Muslims are a strong family, very conservative by nature. They gravitated to the Republican Party. The Republican Party rejected them because the Muslims believed in Sharia over our Constitution. That's Islamic law over our Constitution. So conservatives in general did not embrace the followers of Islam. So the followers of Islam politically went over to the Democrat Party when they were accepted with open arms. And we saw that in the story about the gay cakes, where there was a Christian baker who refused on principle to bake a gay cake. And he said that this gentleman was sued and sued again, nearly lost his whole business. The weight of the world and the weight of the media reports were all against Christians and the Christian bakers. And then at that exact same time, these same people who set up this Christian baker went to Muslim areas in Detroit and Hamtramck, and they went into bakers there, and they asked the Muslim bakers to make a gay cake. The Muslim bakers said no. And you said, not a peep was heard. Nowhere. There was no stories about the Muslims being anti-gay. And the reason that there weren't, because the Muslims are a protected Democrat class. Now, where the Muslims went off the rails, Vito, and where they said, no, they can't take it anymore, is when the gay books were in the schools. And the backlash against the predators and the perverts in the classrooms and the sexualizing of children. And this is everything the Democrats supported and defended and they trumpeted loudly. Well, the Muslims said no. And the whites originally said no, the white Christian mothers. They said no to these books, these gay books in the school. They said, leave our children alone. And what happened to them? The FBI declared them domestic terrorists. The Christians became domestic terrorists, became part of the FBI. Because the Democrats and the Marxists sicked the FBI on our women and Christians who did not want the sexual perversion in the schools. Teach kids reading, writing, arithmetic, and leave all the sex crap at home. Don't groom our children. Well, the Muslims said that's not enough. So they went in force on their own, and they started disrupting these school board meetings. They did it louder, more aggressively, with more venom than the Christians ever did. In fact, they got results. These school boards became scared when they saw all of these hijabbed women and angry men disrupting all of their meetings. And that kind of put the brakes on the sexualizing of children and the grooming of children in the public school system. Jen Psaki came on air. And what did she say, Vito? She said something that this is a playbook coming out of from Nixon and comparing the Republicans to the white nationalist and KKK supporter George Wallace, saying that the GOP put the Muslims up to this. The Muslims are doing this on their own, and that shows how stupid Jen Psaki is, because she said the GOP is like Wallace. Well, Wallace was a Democrat. That's how stupid Jen Psaki is. She's trying to make up a conspiracy theory, fails miserably. She's an idiot. So that's what we're seeing out of Jen Psaki. So thank you, Jen Psaki, for tying all of these loose ends and putting it into a nice big package, because the Muslims are doing this on their own, and they always will, because Islamic law trumps our rule of law, and eventually they're going to turn on you just like they're turning on the French, and they're rioting in France, because these are primarily Muslim migrant illegals who are coming over in force to Europe, going into France. They become a super minority, and they want to change the culture of France using violence, and they are winning.
And once again, you know, the number, in order for Muslims to attain, and correct me if I'm wrong, Al, but the number of and concerning the population is 10%. 5% population of Islamists, they become vocal. And that's what's happening in Sweden. It's 5 to 10%. But in France, the Muslim population has exceeded 10%. And now we're seeing the ramifications of that. And it's true to form. It said that they will, that violence will occur when it's at 10% or greater. Jen Psaki, okay, is simply distracting. She's simply mimicking the DNC playbook. And the DNC playbook is to, one, invoke President Nixon. And why? Because he resigned. Tie him to Donald Trump. And once again, that's a conscious action by the left wing, by the left wing media, by the DNC. And then, of course, she uses the excuse that the Southern strategy was to get the white people in the South to move to the Republican Party, except these same white people the strategy in 1980 actually got Jimmy Carter elected. Now, Jen Psaki knows, having worked for bumbling Biden, that she can't use Jimmy Carter's name and incorporate that in the same sentence as Biden, because you cannot afford to associate Biden to Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter was probably the worst president in U.S. history until Joe Biden was installed. And so there's a conscious effort now to divorce Joe Biden from the failed presidency of Jimmy Carter. And the idea, of course, continues to be to malign Donald Trump. And then, of course, to paint all Republicans as white supremacists and white nationalists. That is the distraction by the left wing. And in the meantime, we're still paying the highest prices at the gas pump. You're paying the highest prices ever for natural gas. Costs for groceries continue to rise, and many families now are going through their savings. But what's the narrative by the anti-American Biden-Harris regime? Well, there's 13 million jobs created. Well, that's not true either. The pandemic was a time that people were working at home and weren't working at all. Now people are returning to work as a result of the pandemic being over. And of course, because Joe Biden is a dishonest man and his handlers, they changed the narrative to him creating 13 million jobs. And that's not true. The government doesn't create jobs. Okay. The government finds ways to get out of the way to allow free enterprise and capitalism to fuel an economy. And so Jen Psaki, you know, trying to be relevant, has to provide a shock therapy. And that shock therapy is to state that the GOP now is using Muslims. Okay, well, the cynical part of it is the left wing has used the Islamic movement. They've accepted their dollars, they funded their campaigns, and they're all working for the same cause, and that is to fundamentally transform America and to dismantle our constitutional republic. And it's why each and every left-wing Democrat refers to the United States of America as a democracy. Article 4, Section 4 is really clear in the U.S. Constitution. Article 4, Section 4 says that the United States shall guarantee each state a republican form of government. Now, the left wing can't bring themselves to use the term republican. And unfortunately, it's not the same Republicans that are in Congress. But it's said to guarantee a republican form of government and to protect against invasion, which Biden has failed on all fronts. The Biden-Harris regime have failed on all fronts. So now let's go ahead and distract with student loans. Let's distract with affirmative action. Let's distract with white nationalism and white privilege, and try to use those terms as much as possible in order to further divide the nation. The Republicans aren't smart enough to do it, and there's no pushback from the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. So I just don't see the relevance of Jen Psaki other than propagandist, and she does it well.
Hey, she got us talking about it.
Right.
I guess
the absurdity of her
statement. I guess she wins, and we talk about it. So that's that. But you know what she's not talking about are those three explosions in New York City yesterday. They were timed and coordinated, and now they're still looking for the perp. That's an interesting little data point that is this going to become the norm? Are these hits that are happening because we have so many illegal aliens? We have so many Chinese that have come over the border, CCP operatives that are coming over the border. In fact, they caught about five or six of them with passports that matched up to CCP, that's Communist Chinese Party. And right now they suspect that there's approximately 10,000, 5,000 to 10,000 Chinese nationals here illegally in the United States, and they are well-trained and small and long gun arms as well as other military capabilities. And when they get turned on and want to start causing trouble, or when China invades Taiwan, which they will. It's just a matter of when, not if, but when. And when they do, it's said that these Chinese cells will start creating havoc in the continental United States by blowing up train tracks, starting wildfires, doing these targeted bombings, multiple bombings like we just saw in New York City as an example. And they can do a lot of damage, poisoning water wells. All this that we used to talk about when we started this show, what was it, 12, 13 years ago?
14,
when we thought that it was the 14, 50, whatever. And we thought that the Islamic jihadis were going to be using these same tactics. But oh, how things have changed in the last decade, the last 15 years. Now it looks like the Marxists are going to come over and are over here now just waiting for the opportunity to disrupt our republic.
Well, you know, the one thing that we have to keep an eye on, and this is where – this is the other distraction by Jen Psaki. You know, the Islamic movement hasn't stopped with their objective. And when you look at what's going on in Europe, I mean, look at Sweden, Malmo, Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden. You look at the influx of Islamic illegal migration and legal migration and the mandates that the EU is making on its member states. And some of those member states have rejected the forced immigration, including Hungary and parts of old Czechoslovakia. Slovakia and Italy, and they have really put a kibosh to the taking the migrants, and day after day you read about what's going on in France and what's going on in Germany and what's going on in Italy and Sweden and of course the grooming issue that went ahead and the rape gangs in the UK that was basically swept under the rug. You know, this is something that it's ongoing, and the biggest problem, the biggest fear that Islam had was Donald Trump being in office because he put that migration restriction on five Islamic countries, but it also made the border more aware. And that's troublesome to an effort that has never changed. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And that includes the United States of America, a Western civilization. And I'm not sure why we don't heed those warnings. You know, we were fixated for a time on East Palestine, Ohio's train derailment. There's been two or three major train derailments since that time, including another train derailment with chemicals from a train that fell into some waterways, a bridge that was toppled, you know. And then, of course, you have the bridge, the I-95 bridge in Philadelphia. You know, these things, there are some coincidences, but what's going on, you know, were the wildfires in Quebec, in Canada, were they part of it, which also sought its way into the United States, into American cities, including New York City, which looked like a yellow, you know, haze. Rochester, Syracuse, Massachusetts, and Vermont were also impacted by that. And then where are all the environmentalists, okay? All the environment, we have environmental crisis, and yet they're all silent. The left wing is silent, which further shows that the environmental movement is nothing but a hoax. And it's a method to transfer wealth. And that is to take the wealth of Americans, take taxpayer money, and fund a hoax, a global hoax. So, you know, I don't know why we're not heeding the warnings of ISIS that will use vehicles to as a means of attack, as they did at Bastille Day in France, as they did in New York City on the New York City bike path. 8 people were killed. You know, there's other means to attack the United States. There are other means to terrorize individuals and terrorize cities, whether it's Paris, France, whether it's in Austria, or it's in Malmo, Sweden, or it's in London, England, or it's New York City, or Los Angeles. I mean, you know, just because we're being distracted by all of these other elements doesn't mean that Islam has been distracted. It doesn't mean that terrorists are not distracted. They're still focused on the prize. And the prize is very simple. The explanatory memorandum is a prize. It's a mission statement. The Ikhwan, the Brotherhood, must understand their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Well, sabotage includes what? Train derailments, fires, sabotage, bombings. You know, just New York had experienced that, you know, just what, 8-9 years ago when you had jihadists were bombing buildings in New Jersey and New York City. And now we're going through the same thing once again. You had a prominent Muslim attorney was throwing Molotov cocktails during the BLM movement. Finally, she was disbarred, and rightly so. I mean, it's like they get excited, you know, use George Floyd as a racial issue and then feast on that, you know, and it's a cause, you know, for terrorism. And we'll throw Molotov cocktails and we'll throw, you know, ice bottles at police officers and injure them and maim them. It's okay, law enforcement, because there is no rule of law. There's no law and order. I don't understand why we don't take these words in this mission statement, okay, by these organizations, by these movements who are antithetical to our way of life, our form of government. You know, and again, I just think this has all been a distraction. And what Jen Psaki did was it was dishonest what she did. She used a soundbite from President Trump with regards to banning Muslims and didn't use the entire soundbite and took it totally out of context. And she's allowed to get away with this, allowed to be dishonest. There were 5 Muslim countries on that no entry list. All Muslims were not banned from the United States from 2017 to 2020, December 31, 2020, or actually January 19, 2021. Muslims from Egypt can enter the United States. Muslims from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from UAE, from Bahrain, from Qatar. There's 57 Islamic states, and there were 5 Islamic states that were on that list. Why? Because there was no form of government to provide vetting of those Muslims from those countries, including Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen, Libya. And Jen Psaki, you know, this is the work of the Democrat Party. This is how shameless they are, and they're preying on the ignorance of Americans. And it's the same playbook that the left wing uses to discredit the GOP, because they know the GOP is not going to speak up, because the GOP is complicit with this uniparty system in Washington, D.C. And it's time to call these liars out, these propagandists like Jen Psaki and KJP, okay, out. It's time to call out the Pete Buttigieg, okay, for lying to the American people. He's been an utter failure as Secretary of Transportation, and now he is commenting on student loan and affirmative action and other crap that pertains nothing to to being Secretary of Transportation. And it's been one failure after another with Pete Buttigieg. But he's got to be the spokesman for the dishonest Democrat Party, for the Biden-Harris regime, because we all know that Biden himself can't speak in terms. I mean, even John Fetterman calls Biden a collapsed bridge, as he is.
And now I'm standing next to the president again, next to a collapsed bridge here.
Oh. Yeah, I'm standing next to a collapsed bridge. He's absolutely right. So we need another distraction. We need to distract the American people from the truth. We need to distract the American people from the efforts in which the left wing, from the governmental party, from the Washington, D.C. syndicate, and the globalism that they're trying to invoke in the United States of America. I find Jen Psaki's comments reprehensible. And I'm disappointed yet again, okay, but not surprised, okay, because I'm not naive any longer with her comments. Okay. In taking things out of context. And maybe she did it just for shock value because her ratings are waning and she's about to go, you know, fall on the sword for DNC MSNBC. But it's typical of what we're seeing today in politics. It's typical of the left wing in America. And you know what's typical? Is the silence by the Republicans in Congress. And if you still believe there's a two-party system, I have some swampland in Florida I'll sell you. Yeah, and CARE, okay? Headline of the day, CARE calls on White House to condemn, intervene, and stop Israeli government war crimes in Palestinian refugee camps. You know, CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Rights Relations, they should have been deported, okay, when both Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad were raising money for terrorist organizations, Islamic terrorist organizations, under the Islamic Association for Palestine. Why those two weren't deported back to Palestine is beyond me. Those are the two most dishonest individuals who are running a corrupt organization under the guidelines of being the largest Muslim civil rights group in America. And yet they knowingly hired Morris Day, an attorney who was not an attorney, and they defrauded their fellow Muslims out of tens of thousands of dollars portraying Morris Day as an attorney. And Morris Day, you know, God bless him, he died of a heart attack. Son of a gun. What a coincidence, isn't it? He was Clintonized. And he can't defend himself.
Well, the other big story of hypocrisy was in New York City. The story of two subway heroes, both treated completely opposite. On Wednesday, charges related to a June 13th subway incident were dismissed against a 20-year-old New York City resident named Jordan Williams, who was black. The high-profile case garnered national attention. And what happened is that, according to reports, Dreago approached – that's the guy who was the perp – Dreago approached Williams, the victim's girlfriend, on the train, snapping, "Want to F?" Before proceeding to physically attack the pair, video allegedly presented to the grand jury showed Dreago choking Williams and punching Williams' girlfriend – before Williams pulled a knife and stabbed and killed him, the perp. And then a couple of weeks ago, we had we had a Marine who was also on the train, on a New York City subway train, and a male perp started harassing everyone on the car, threatening them. The white Marine put the perp into a chokehold with four people around him, and the perp died. And now the Marine was charged with murder, manslaughter, or any other charge that Alvin Bragg can put against him, and now he's fighting for his life. So we have two heroes, two different outcomes. One of the perps, I guess, was white. One of the heroes was white, and one of the heroes was not white. So we got a problem in this society.
Yep.
big-time problem. And this is just a great example of this. And, I mean, even the hypocrisy even goes into the presidency, where President Trump had his home raided because of classified information, which as president he could declassify at any time. And they were under lock and key. There was a Secret Service all over Mar-a-Lago. He was in contact with the proper authorities. Contrast that with President Biden, who had 1,800 files, national security classified files, scattered over 5-6 different locations, including Chinatown, a garage, an unlocked garage, and many others. And what happened there, there was no raid. The Department of Justice gave Biden's lawyers first right to go in and go over and through all of these documents, do whatever they wanted to do with them, and then the DOJ went in to inspect after Biden's lawyers cleaned the spaces. There's another story of hypocrisy. I guess we could go on and on and on.
You know what's
unless
interesting?
You're the Navy. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about the documents of Biden, did you see the picture, the latest picture that came out with Hunter Biden driving dad's 1968 Corvette in the same, coming out of the same garage where classified documents were kept? Go ahead.
Yeah, and they did that. And then there is traces of cocaine in the West Wing after Hunter had been there twice in 2 weeks. Somehow they find traces of cocaine, and then they made a determination that it wasn't cocaine hydrochloride, it was an analgesic. I don't know what happened. I just know it looks terrible, and that's it.
Yeah, all those young girls that he was snorting cocaine with, it was just snorting an analgesic. Yep, they all had sinus conditions. It's important that those young girls disrobe. It's important that Mahalia Obama disrobed and then took the analgesic, so to help clear her nose. What a pharmaceutical gent he is, isn't he?
Yeah, and then there's pictures floating around of Hunter going 107, taking a pic of him going 100 and some odd miles per hour in a vehicle while smoking a crack pipe, which violates all kinds of federal statutes, and nothing happens.
Hey, man, he's the smartest guy I know, man.
Hey, that's the big guy talking.
You mean
this? And then you got the Navy.
And
the
now
Navy's putting
I'm
out
standing
an
next
LG...
to the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on, button. I'm sorry.
I took the wrong button. You're talking about the big guy. I was thinking about Fetterman.
Oh,
go ahead.
Hit the right button.
And now I'm standing next to the president again, next to a collapsed bridge here.
Oh. That sounds like Fetterman. What a dope.
What were you saying about the Navy?
Oh, the Navy is putting out a new recruitment video about their intense reaching out to the gay community, LGBT community, which makes up approximately 10% of the Navy, and they want them to know that they are welcome here and are inclusive in the Navy, LGBT, whether you're a cross-dresser, whatever your freak might be, you can get it on in the Navy. And this video has caused intense backlash, which is being ignored by the Navy, because the Navy is just like Bud Light now, and saddens me to see our military go so low. It's horrible.
Is the new theme going to be by the, what was it, in the Navy?
Oh.
What was that?
We're in the Navy, yeah.
Who is that group?
Oh, what the
somebody,
hell?
Bigfoot knows it.
YMCA.
Macho Man, the Love Boat. The way, hey, moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Love Boat. Oh, gosh, I forgot the name of that group. So It'll be Macho Man and in the Navy. So that'll be the recruitment video. In the Navy. The Village People. Thank you, Holger. I knew you had
Bill,
that on,
that's
on your playlist.
The Village People. The Village People are now going to be the musical spokespeople for the United States Navy. Become a submariner in the Navy where LGBT, you get to live with men in a nice little moving pill metal box under the sea for months on end. Ooh, Vito, that sounds like a wonderful party time.
Oh, those big guns.
Who needs to go on a cruise when I can join the Navy and go on a submarine for months with a bunch of other submariners? Wonderful.
Don't get torpedoed. I mean.
And if you're really successful, you can become a rear admiral.
So the recruitment video is going to be the Village People playing in the Navy. Biden telling us how he was served in the Navy. I'm sure at some point of his life he's going to be talking about how he served in the Navy and, you know, and how he took popcorn out back and
gave him a little ass whooping.
Yeah, you know, do you think maybe the I'm glad you put the Chinese in there. It reminded me something about, you know, Communist China doesn't have these issues, and they don't allow these issues to be first and foremost and front and center. Now, I understand that the Communist Chinese, you know, basically the Communist government runs your entire life, and they have to be laughing at the United States with this woke agenda that has infected America. And by the globalists, all by design, the Communist Chinese are not being distracted, and they're just continuing to move forward. Whether it's they're sending up weather balloons, right? Thank you, Holger. Going across the United States, including seven military installations, and then Biden confirming that there was indeed spy equipment in that weather balloon when it was shot down. And, of course, that he disclosed national security secrets there, and he did it overtly, and yet President Trump is bad. Why you let a weather balloon, a Chinese spy weather balloon, you know, advance across the United States and then claim it was because of the wind and the wind directions took it off course. And then you lie about and stated that there were three other weather balloons that occurred under the Trump administration and John Ratcliffe, national security advisor, and even John Bolton, who has an axe to grind with President Trump, even came out and said that never happened. So, you know, we have one lie after another. There's one cover-up after another that's occurring inside the United States government. And in the meantime, Communist China continues to advance their radical agenda to be the world leader supplanting the United States of America. They've done it with Brazil. They've done it with BRICS, that five-country organization. They're using, you know, their own currency now and dissing the United States dollar. You've got France now is aligning itself with Communist China. You've got the Islamic countries now pushing out the United States in favor of Communist China. And Communist China is not dealing nor addressing with this woke agenda issue. They don't even tolerate that. Transgenderism, LGBT, they have no idea what that is. They don't, and they absolutely love the TikTok videos to actually monitor what's going on in the United States and to show how cancerous it's become here in the United States. It's just one distraction after another.
Oh, and then the WNBA getting back to sports and society and politics colliding. Well, WNBA star Natasha Cloud doubles down on comments calling the U.S. trash and racist.
Yeah.
Even though she's made a millionaire, she's earned over $1 million playing basketball here in the United States of America. And this bitch, Natasha Cloud, has the balls. We don't know. She may. We don't know. to call the U.S. trash and race. Well, F you, Natasha Cloud, and F the NBA. And I never watched you before, and I will never watch you again. In fact, LeBron James and the WNBA should just get together and make a commercial about why you should not watch professional basketball of any gender or mixed gender.
Yeah. She's able to do something that she truly loves. And did she get the job over, you know, somebody more qualified? You know, she's a talent. Look at Brittany Griner. She has changed her entire tune about the United States and now stands up for the national anthem and the flag because she was not able to stand, you know, in jail while being incarcerated in communist Russia. She understands what a gulag is. And boy, has changed her opinion, hasn't he, she?
Yeah, funny how a little Marxism in real-life Russia will turn you into a capitalist-loving American again. Well,
yeah.
Hey, Russia, Putin, you can have Natasha Cloud. Come get her. She's yours.
Well, listen, we're at the end of the show. You know, next week, Shabaka, you know, Tuna, we'll have more time to talk about affirmative action and how the white man's keeping the black man down. He's got a show on Blog Talk Radio, by the way. So tomorrow, Wednesday night, we've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, we've got Take No Prisoners with Vito. I believe I'll be doing a show Friday. I'll let you all know. Saturday, Osama Dekdek with the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with The Cross and the Crescent. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check out Annie's show on Friday afternoons at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with our great sidekick co-host, author Curtis Bennett. Also, check out the Simone Nicole show. If you want a break from politics, an apolitical show, check out Simone Nicole, 8 p.m. on Wednesday evenings on Spreaker.com at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, you've got Real Talk Radio with Audrey Russo. Go to AudreyRusso.com, a great show. That's Audrey Russo, R-U-S-S-O.com. And then Joe Gibson, Tuesday evenings right here on Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. And check out RZ's show. He's on Thursdays and Saturdays on Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com, which is BTR's sister station. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bring it on, boys. Ducky Northwest, hold your holy dilly. Thanks for the call. Moving forward. And RZ Reactionaries. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you all in podcast land. And you all have a great evening. Be aware of your surroundings. And don't be distracted by all this nonsense. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
You all be safe out there. Thank you for joining us. Ciao for now.
It was my way.
Wow, that was a quick 2 hours.
Too much to talk about.
Oh, my God. It really is. I know we didn't get
the
Shabbat.
What Shabbat? What story was that?
No, this guy Shabazz. He wanted to talk about affirmative action, but he just came on too late and we didn't have time.
Oh, he was a caller. Oh,
yeah.
Well, shoot. Hopefully, he'll call next week. Tell him to call early.
Yeah. Hopefully he will. Yeah, we'll put it on there, and maybe he will. And he's got a show on Blog Talk Radio, and he's going to tell us about how wrong we were, you know, about affirmative action. So, yeah. And the plight of the Republican-owned schools, the public school system. I thought that's a new one, Republican-run schools.
Don't we wish?
I'm trying to figure that one out.
Can you imagine every student learning civics in elementary school? Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Right?
Everyone would know how a bill becomes law. How cool would that be? Can you name the three branches of government? Is justice really blind? Oh, God. The Constitution? What the hell is that? Bill of Rights?
What is that? Yeah, what about the
Bill
of Rights?
Every elementary school kid just knew those basic things?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's funny you say that, because I packed away and I really haven't been looking diligently, but I'm going to consciously make an effort to try to find it. But I have a book on the Constitution, and in that there's a there's something that I got back in elementary school about how bills become laws. Well, what's the process of a bill and where it generates from? And it has the House on one side, the Senate on the other, and then it shows how the process will go. And, you know, I took it for granted, but that's something that's not being taught anymore. And, you know, it's time that you don't take that stuff for granted. Because the left wing in America today, and the left wing could be, you know, both sides of the aisle, they don't want you to know about how bills become laws. And they want the legislation done by whomever, you know, is in the White House. And, you know, what Biden is doing unilaterally with regards to student loan debt is reprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
It's reprehensible. You know, we didn't talk about the Republican House is looking to defund the World Health Organization, and rightly so. You know, I know it's not going to pass the U.S. Senate because Chuck Schumer is a globalist and does not believe in the U.S. Constitution nor the rule of law. But I can't believe that the Republican House is actually going to draft legislation to defund the World Health Organization. And they need to, you know, our tax dollars does not need to go to that terrorist organization who's subversive to our way of life, our country's security.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So wonder what next week will bring.
What will the distraction be for next week? Let's see. Will the Hunter Biden story be gaining traction? So therefore, they'll have to come up with a new scandal and a new distraction. You know, will Jen Psaki say something even more stupid than she said this week and outlandish? What will they blame Trump for? The Alamo? You know.
Will the homeless still continue to live in beachside bathroom stalls? Film at 11. Do you know that's a thing?
No.
The police
What's
had
this?
To come in L.A. at the beach.
Yeah.
They have public stalls, bathroom stalls and showers, I guess, on the beach. Well, the homeless have moved into these stalls. And they had to have the police come in to get them out of there so people could use, because a line had formed, people needing to go to the bathroom on the beach. There's nowhere to go because the homeless had invaded and taken over all the stalls that they could.
Wow.
Not that that's a huge story, but it's kind of interesting. And Newsom's going to be running for president of the United States one day. Oh, my Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, the anti-constitutional Newsom. You know, he's the pretty boy of the Democrat Party. So I guess if Biden doesn't survive the primary process, they'll have to draft Newsom because they'll need a pretty boy to step in.
Yeah, because I guess Kennedy is getting people upset on the left, which is good. And all he is, he's just a blue dog Democrat like his brother, who happens to believe that the shot was bad news, which it was. So they're calling him all kinds of names. But I still think he can siphon off 10 to 12%. Well, so what if he, I mean, it doesn't matter how much he siphons off against Biden, because Biden will become it won't matter. It's going to be Trump versus Biden. So, oh, that doesn't matter. But if all these people go for for Robert Kennedy.
Right.
Then maybe they'll stay home this election cycle.
That like the Bernie Sanders people did back in 2016 when they found out that Hillary Rodham Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz cheated during the presidential primary. And many of those Bernie Sanders supporters stayed home. Matter of fact, they weren't, correct me if I'm wrong, they were quite vocal during the DNC convention, the fact that there was cheating in the presidential primary for the Democrat Party. And of course, no one talks about that, but you know, that was certainly a factor in not supporting the Democrats. And now you've got you've got Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who goes on Joe Rogan's show, and suddenly, you know, his popularity, you know, has increased tremendously. Of course, no one talks about how he killed the island of Puerto Rico with having the military pull out of Vieques.
Well, it did risk tipping over, so that was a disaster avoided.
That was Guam. That was Hank Jones. Oh. Hank Smith out of Georgia. Yes, yeah. Guam was could tip over. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forget. I get these comments all mixed up. Anyway. All right. Well, I gotta hit the road.
Yeah, me too. I gotta take off here. So, good show as always. Good to talk to you, and good to see you, Sue, and you all have a nice evening, and we'll talk again next week, eh?
All right, sounds good. And Sue, you take care of yourself, and we will talk with you next week.
All right. Here we go. That's all, folks. Thank you, Music Box Art.